And I don't mind telling you, we actually finished this report today, and that's when I sent it out to Chris. I think it was this afternoon.
All right. So we have enough time to take a stack on this. If anybody can muster a question.
Teresa Allen for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. Anita, you're saying that a lot of what you've got here are projections. Is that correct?
Well, it's cash flow based on the level of activity that each station is getting cash in and getting and paying cash out. So what we did is ran some reports in order to determine that. And then when you look at the 519, which is the total cash, so really what we're saying, if all this money came in and all this money was paid out, you should still have a surplus, essentially. My only concern is what I wanted was at least a half a day for me to review these numbers to be able to ask of staff some good, solid questions. Keep in mind, this took two people probably, I don't know, 2 days or so to pull this together.
Is there something we could have done so that it wouldn't have taken you 2 days to put it together?
Probably no, not really. I think this is really not a manual process, if you will, but it takes time to run analysis, run reports. The only difference is that if it was all, you'll hear me say this a lot, I'm sure, if it was under one accounting platform, it would, yes, it would have been quicker.
So you've got three stations with using Great Plains, and
yes,
you've got one using QuickBooks, right?
Yes.
And then you've got WPFW just, I guess, scanning in their expenses and scanning in their revenues. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. What would you recommend that we do? That we all convert to QuickBooks? That we all do what? What do you think it would be the best thing that we should do?
Well, from my perspective, I would want to see all of it under MAS 500.
Okay.
But that's because that would allow us the ease of doing all the reconciliation processing, if you will, and we would be able to run the reports. Obviously, it's here. Your data is housed all together. It would make it so much easier to run a consolidated report and be able, quite frankly, to review everything. Your business managers still could support that effort. It's not like they won't have anything to do. They would.
Chris, can we ask the IED about doing what she's suggesting?
Sure. Yeah, and I can add one thing to that too, and that's that if this were to happen, then reporting would be almost instantaneous, or at least evaluating what data was missing would be almost instantaneous.
Absolutely.
We could figure out what was going on at kind of a moment's notice. You could call up Anita on a Friday afternoon, and provided that the business manager entered the data for the week, you could get data for Friday afternoon. And obviously that would be incredibly advantageous to the company under the circumstances that we find ourselves, but under any circumstances, really. It would be beneficial. So, yeah, it would certainly be something worth pursuing.
So I think about 6 weeks ago, Lyndon Foley asked you, Anita, to clarify the situation involving, like, the stations, each station's current cash balance. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you have right here?
Yes. Well, what we have is really looking at the records of how cash comes in and goes back out, and that's in the most simplistic way. But
okay, so,
it took us took us a
while. How often do you want to do this?
Well, for a lot of organizations that we did work with, we do it almost a couple of times a year. Especially with all stations, obviously cash is gets there's times that is critical, if you will. There's not as much cash flow. We look to see how it's trending, if you will. And at least it tells you if there's a shortfall, how it's going to be paid off or financed or what have you.
Chris, do you feel that she needs to write kind of an overview of the situation in order for you to talk to the IED about this moving forward?
No, I think I understand it.
I think I understand it. With the issue of the accounting reporting systems that we're using.
Yeah. No.
So we're discussing two different things. One is how it affects the current cash balance and the for the stations, and the other one is the accounting reporting systems. There seems to be a problem there, and I guess unless we can articulate it, we can't really address how we can fix the problem. If you see
yeah, problem. And I can certainly bring it up with the IED. I mean, I understand what the situation is well enough. I think I can immediately guess what some of the objections would be, namely that migrating to new accounting systems is, you know, it's not always something that it's always met with resistance, period. And it can take a certain amount of training as well. Is Netta in a position to offer that training, or if not, how would
We would train your staff, but there's two ways of doing this. You know, NETA would bring in electronically your data, starting out with, let's say, the Berkeley station. They would have access. We would teach them how to be able to log in to view whatever they would want to, like cash in bank, membership, list. Anything that they would want to see, they would have the ability, and also to extract reports. But it would be our responsibility to do the reconciliations. See, right now they reside at the station. And that is a process that I think, come out of time, is taking so much longer. They're reconciling their own bank statements booking accrued leave or whatever it is, it's being done at the station level.
If you don't mind me asking, Anita, how often do you find that you're in disagreement or that the categories are not matching up and that you have to do a lot of manual, not only re-entry, but investigation of how these items are entered? In other words, how time-consuming is it? A relatively seamless process to take the stuff out of Great Plains and plunk it into MES 500, or is it far more complicated than that?
So, I mean, it obviously takes time, but I think what it would save us is a tremendous amount of time and effort, quite frankly, and expense, which equates into an expense. But the way I think the problem that we're having for 2018, we would not be in that situation. We probably would already, once we have caught up everything, you know, as you all heard George say, that there were 100-some journal entries that were written up to correct prior items. I don't have that in front of me, so I can't speak to that. But that was for 2018. 2017 was probably even worse. But again, you know, we're not taking the control or the authority from the station. We're not. They're going to still be approving invoices because they're the ones that are responsible for that. You know, we could process those invoices in Columbia and be able to they provide us their deposit on a daily basis, the sheet, the listing, if you will. We would credit that. I just think that it would be by far quicker process. We would reconcile the bank statements, because then we do provide that separation of duty. Right now, they're depositing the money and, of course, writing their own checks. Nothing wrong with that. But if you only have one individual at the office, and then when we need information from them, they have no time really to devote to us. And that, quite frankly, is what I think has happened with the 2018 audit.
I understand
even though
that.
Doors,
I,
yeah.
We've I was asked just going to ask. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was through. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, it sounds like you're complaining about a duplication of effort. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment.
Okay.
Bill for the staff.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Just want to, of course, we just got this a little before the meeting, so I didn't really have time to look at all the details either. But on the consolidated sheet, again, if you'll notice the cash balance, line 11, drops from, at the beginning of this fiscal year, from $1.2 million, which is about 1 month of operating expenses. It's really, it's not a lot. You know, most nonprofits, I assume, should have about 3 months of operating expenses in case there's some crisis or, you know, emergency or something. But anyway,
yeah,
so dropping from that to 519, we're ending at 520,000, which is about 2 weeks of operating expenses. I mean, that's really cutting it close. And I'll also note that on line 92, and Nita hasn't told me this, okay, I'm just looking at the spreadsheet. This is, I assume, to pay Netta, is projecting zero payments for the rest of this year. I mean, that's troubling. It's really troubling to me. And we just learned earlier that we owe $170,000 so far.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Am I missing something? Or?
No, I mean, that's correct. And staff should have added in, our monthly fee is $27,500. That is the contract amount, if you will. And is, if you didn't hear me mention it, right now there's an outstanding of $170,000 thereabouts. Which obviously would love to get paid, even if it was half of that amount.
Yeah, and what prompted me is this discussion of essentially we're creating extra work for you by having to convert all this stuff, all the numbers to mass 5,000. So, okay, just want everybody to be thinking about this. Maybe we can talk about it the next meeting or something.
Sharon, for the staff.
Okay, Sharon, let me just bump in here for a second. Referring to line 11, everybody will also notice that our cash balance is actually higher in March and May, according to the projection, than it is right now, than it is right now. And so the real burden to us comes after the middle of the year, and where about $1 million of cash is going to bleed out of the business, according the projection. If everybody wants to know where the red flags lie, it's in, and this has actually been mentioned many times, both at the NFC by the previous CFO, and I think at least one executive director has mentioned this, that that's where our troubles begin, really, is towards the middle of this year. So just pointing that out. Is there anyone else for the stack? We have about 10 minutes left.
Sharon.
Sorry, go ahead.
But actually, Chris, I have a question for you and a question for Anita. But I'm curious, as you've looked at these more, if you have analysis of where the $1 million bleed out comes from, what where that is. So that's my question for you, Chris. And then I have kind of a basic question for Anita, which I feel like maybe I just need an explanation of something simple. But looking at the spreadsheet, okay, I see fiscal year 19, line 11. We're in fiscal year 20 right now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you had said that you had sum the numbers through January or February this year. So I'm wondering if those numbers are estimates or whether those are not estimates, because it does say estimated up there. That's what my confusion.
And some of it probably is estimated. We didn't have good data. But if you look all the way over on this spreadsheet, we do have 2020 FY estimated. So because one is in the future, if you will.
Okay, and so some of the numbers though, might actually be accurate numbers, even though it's in the estimated.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what I meant. If what I'd like to do is kind of do my own review to be able to ask questions of staff and then kind of put an analysis with this for our next meeting.
Okay, yeah, that would be good.
That was just my basic confusion. And then, Chris, I don't know if you have an answer to the other question that I was asking about where.
I do. You know, as the cash flows summary shows, there aren't major issues after the middle of the year. But if you go through station by station, I think it's safe to say that the contribution to the problem is pretty much systemic. In other words, I think pretty much every station is going to start having issues late this year, according to the projections. Now, I have the same problem that Anita has. I haven't reviewed this. I don't know whether the projections have, frankly, any basis or in what we can reasonably expect. But that's what I'm seeing by going through one station at a time and looking at the cash bleed in the June through September period, is that pretty much every station is going negative during that stretch.
I guess my question was more directed. I know you haven't looked at it, so maybe you don't know the answer. But to any particular expense, or whether it was a decrease in revenue, or maybe you don't know the answer.
I don't. I haven't analyzed the realisticness, if that's a word, of the revenue or expense projections. So I really can't answer that. But I certainly plan to.
Okay,
we have about 7 minutes left here. Is there are there any other questions? Teresa, did you receive a copy of the spreadsheet?
Bear with me 1 minute.
Nick, for
and the title is. Are you talking about which one are you talking about?
Cash flow.
Yes, updated cash flow. Yes, I received it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Nick.
Question: wherein lies the interest payments for the loan? And going back to the earlier discussion, what's the calculation of the interest payment? What interest rate are we using now for against what principal balance?
Nick, I'm looking forward. I actually, as I said, I've not had an opportunity to review it to that degree at all. But I'm looking at
96.
96. Okay. Thank you. Interest and bank charges.
Well, interest and bank charges may not be interest expense. That can be a line for, you know, credit card payments and or any bank fees. Is that inclusive or exclusive?
No, this, I think it would be interest, because if you look in June, still in line 96 is 67,774. September is 89,693. So quarterly payments, it appears like.
But there are also interest and bank charges in 2018, and then unless we were accruing expenses because the loan had an interest reserve that was built in, we wouldn't have been making interest payments in fiscal 18. So I'm tending to think that number is what, you know, what is what the service charges on credit card fees, at least a portion of that is that in that number.
I'll find out and I'll let you know. To me, that dollar amount is so great for just to be credit card. I think the grand total is $324,000.
Yeah, and that sounds like the big loan to me.
Yeah.
But again, then what was the number? What generated the number in 2018 be as high as it was? And then the other question is just what's the rate in the principal for the loan? 7.5% on like $3.3 million or $3.4 million?
I will get that information. I want to say $3.4 million, but I'll get to a graph with that. We do have it in the office.
Gotcha. You know, Chris, his other schedule had a $67,000 a month interest payment for the loan, and that's in the schedule from the discussion earlier. So I was just trying to back into what that was, how you came up with that on a monthly basis.
That wasn't monthly. It should have been quarterly, that $67,000.
Yeah.
Quarterly. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sorry for the confusion on that. I actually got confused a little bit when I looked at it today myself.
Okay. That's a much different number. Okay.
Bill, for another question.
Go ahead, Bill.
I see listener support is projected to increase for this fiscal year, and I wonder if that's realistic, because it's for FY19, you have you're rounding off 8.1 million, and then for this year, 8.6 million. And the stations seem to be struggling more with their fund drives this year than last. So is that realistic? And we always do better. I mean, we always do worse in the last part of the fiscal year, the last 3 months. They're always difficult.
Anita, I can answer that.
Okay.
For the first 4 months of the year, listener revenue is actually up. And so I'm sure it's just a prediction based on that. Listener revenue for the first 4 months is up about 7%, if memory serves. And so if you project that out for the balance of the year, I think that's probably pretty close to what is being projected for the cash flow statement. Now, having said that, major donor funding is projected to be down like 80 or 90%. I'm not sure how realistic that is either, because if you look at the past, for major donor revenue, it tends to run at about 15% of overall revenues, and the projected amount this year is like 5 or 4. So I think that number is probably a bit low, too. In other words, I think that it's a very conservative assumption, which I actually appreciate in terms of major donor funding on this cash flow projection. But it might be a little bit on the liberal side in terms of listener revenue if that doesn't keep up. I know that T is an exception to this, Bill. So you're feeling it in a way that the rest of the state is feeling it. But most of the stations are reporting listener revenue is actually up for the first 4 months.
Okay, thanks. Hope that continues.
Me too. Obviously.
I'm so skeptical.
Yeah, I can hear it. So are there any further questions on this cash flow analysis? So we discharge Anita to her life. Nobody else?
Here.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Anita. I appreciate it. And we gave you a bit of homework tonight, so I hope I hope that wasn't burdensome for you. But
not at all.
Okay. I really appreciate you being here, and we look forward to seeing all of that stuff them in so that we can have an even better discussion next time. And can you remind me again, I guess we'll bring the cash flow thing back next time since none of us have really had the opportunity to look at this.
Correct.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. I appreciate your time tonight, and we look forward to speaking to you next time.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, and I will provide you some information prior to the next call coming up. All right.
Okay, especially updating that list would be helpful, Anita, so that the individual stations can provide the auditors with what they need. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so we have 15 minutes left. We're going to circle back and talk about the central services formula again. I'm imagining that Bill would like to speak on this subject since he was the one who brought it up in the first place. Just as an overview, I think all the individual stations, particularly in the latter half of this year, are going to struggle with the central services issue. They're already struggling, clearly. I mean, it seems like everybody's falling behind, which is something I didn't even acknowledge or notice before tonight. In terms of the funding for this year, I thought that most stations were current, but most stations are actually behind, which is troublesome for sure, and doesn't portend well for the proposal, which is basically to increase that funding. And I have some misgivings about the general idea of it, but I don't really know what to do with it. So if anybody can offer some suggestions or has some insights, I'd certainly appreciate it. And like I say, we can take a stab. We got 15 left.
I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I'm looking at the cash flow projection. Central services, and if I'm understanding this correctly, WBAI in October, I guess it'd be 2018, they gave $16,890 to central services, and they gave nothing for the rest of the fiscal year, right? Nothing. And they gave nothing to PRA until July. KPFT did not give anything to PRA in January, I guess, of 2019. So I guess I need to talk to my business manager about that through our interim general manager. Perhaps we should ask, each one of us should ask, go to our board and ask for about $15, give a plaque to Anita, volunteer of the year, because this is what pays her salary. Right now, she is a fantastic volunteer. I mean, I'm just thinking that our boards are not getting this message because of we've had turnover of our IED, turnovers of our general managers. So we're not paying into central services that pay for these very essential services. We're, our board members don't have insurance. We're not paying into health. Our health insurance plans. So maybe a start would be each one of the people on this committee write up a motion, take it to their board, and work really, really hard to get each one of these boards to make a plaque for Anita as Volunteer of the Year, because are we taking it seriously? Can we say we're taking it seriously?
Thanks, Teresa. I'm deeply concerned about falling behind with NEDA and with our CFO. I think it definitely should be prioritized. We need this accounting to get our audits in order and to get our CPD funding back. And You know, it's basically $1 million exercise that we're not paying for. And I think she's reaching the end of her rope, candidly. You know, there's only so many months that an outside vendor can go without getting paid before they, you know, just say, okay, well, screw it. I can't do this anymore. I can't work for free. I know that Netta is into their line right now to make payroll, and that's not a good situation for them, but it's also not a good situation for us. And yeah, I would really like it if we could get the PMB to prioritize those payments, because we have, you know, gainful right now, the whole operation, but it's gainful enough that we can certainly pay for our financial support. So that's my two bits. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, we're essentially taking advantage of our central service providers. And, of course, it's not just Anita Sims. You know, we've got the whole organization. They've got, as she was saying, it took two people working just about full-time 2 days to come up with these reports. But there's other people that are working to provide information that the auditors need. They also, all our payroll goes through them, and then it goes to Paylocity. They're also providing HR support. And if, you know, in the cash flow projections, if we're projecting no payments to them for the next 7 months, that's another $200,000 we'll be behind by the end of the year if they'll continue that long. And I'm just thinking, you know, this is sort of a fantasy. We think somehow we're going to come up with additional funds to pay the interest on this big loan. I don't see where the money's coming from. We got to get realistic. We got to talk to the people at our stations and make sure we get those central services paid. Also remind everybody, in I think 3 years ago, the PND passed a motion that's still in effect that prioritized spending for stations. Number one was payroll, because it's required by law. Number two was medical insurance for employees. And number three was social services. And all three of those are supposed to be paid in full before any other expenses for the station every month. And we need to, you know, work with our station management to figure out how we can make that happen. Because if we don't, we're not going to be able to pay the interest payments. I'm not sure we'll be able to keep our central service providers. We won't get the audits done without both Netta and Rogers. And we got to get realistic about this. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
I have a question, Teresa Allen.
Go ahead,
I would like to know if people on this committee are surprised with what they see and what they intend to do about it.
Well, I can speak for myself. I'm not terribly surprised. These projections are actually somewhat better than the last set that I saw. But they're still disappointing. And yeah, we gotta develop some fiscal discipline to fix it. And it would be, I guess, helpful would be a gentle word if the committee took some leadership on this and tried to figure out a way to make that happen. Because, I just don't see how we're going to make it through this year in the manner in which we want to without it.
Chris, Fred?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, it's good that we have these documents with these numbers. This certainly enlightens us. To what extent can we share this with our own local station boards? I mean, it doesn't do any good just for us to look at this. We need to talk to our people in governance to convince them of what the situation actually is. How far can we share this?
Okay. So, once again, I'm extremely reluctant to until Anita has the opportunity to go through these projections and like figure out if there's some glaring problems with them, an error, and I think each one of us individually as treasurers of our individual organization should do the same. I'm reluctant to distribute these en masse just because it might, I mean, if you want to terrify everybody and create a lot of turmoil, I can appreciate reasons for wanting to do that, it would be fine to just go ahead and do it. But I think if we could take just 2 weeks to go through this and have Anita go through this as well and circle back in 2 weeks, we'll have something much better that we can provide to our individual units. Like I say, for example, I think the major donor funding part of this equation is pretty off. It doesn't take the quests to make a decent major donor funding number. The major donor funding is broken into anything over $1,000, I think, per contribution, and there's significant revenue associated with that. And then, of course, there are some just routine bequests that we can kind of count on. And I'm not sure that that's accounted for properly in these statements at all. So the shortfall may not be quite as bad as projected here. And then the next thing, of course, would be to say, hey, look, you know, your station's doing okay. Can you, you got to prioritize. I think Bill's point about prioritizing the expense was really good. I didn't remember that motion either. I wasn't on the PMB at the time, or it's so long ago that I didn't remember it. But that set of priorities sounds pretty good to me, in that I think it would essentially fix this problem kind of organically if those expenses were prioritized first. I would appreciate it if we could keep it amongst ourselves just for a couple of weeks until we can iron out some of the troubles with it. And then I have no particular issue sharing it. I don't want to throw a veil of secrecy over anything. I just don't want bad information getting out there that could create sort of harmful reactions or alarmist reactions within the organization and outside of it that would cause us more trouble than good. Of course, you guys are the committee, and I want to respect your wishes, but that's what I would prefer.
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I just think that there's a false equivalency here. If you're saying that a station that paid absolutely zero for 11 of 12 months to Central Services and zero to Pacific Radio Archives for the last 11 months, and someone, a station that's missed one or two, I don't quite understand why it would be so wrong for the person on the finance committee, the two people from each station on the finance committee, to talk to the general managers about what they see. And if the general manager says, oh, well, this is wrong, ask the general manager to get to the bottom of it. Because obviously
I actually completely
false information
agree with that,
has been given.
I agree with that completely.
Let me say this.
Yeah,
for the last 2 years, when people have been saying, oh, WBAI is behind, but then we paid. But we were behind, but we paid. And people are, this is the first time I've seen it just 0000 right across the bottom. And, I know WBAI is experiencing real financial challenges, but if we don't, now that we can finally see the numbers, we can just really say, we can ask, what specifically are you going to do about it? Because there's been no accountability because we didn't have the numbers and it was kind of suggested, oh yeah, but we caught up. We were borrowing from Peter PayPal, but we caught up. And
James for the stack.
I just want some action to be taken rather than kicking it down the road another 2 weeks. Something to be done. Thank you.
I hear you, Teresa. And what I'm suggesting is that the treasurers that are on this call, and I believe that's most, if not all of them, should share this information with the general managers. I think that's a great idea, and try and resolve any sort of conflicts that they see in the cash flow summary and the profit and loss and whatever else is being distributed. I think that's smart. And because those people should know. Should know the difference between, for example, a cash flow statement and a profit and an accrual statement and a cash basis statement and, a balance sheet and a statement of cash. All those things are different, and I would expect people on this committee to know those differences. And so I have no problem with people that have some knowledge of this stuff sharing it with other people that have responsibility for these issues. I think that's great, and I think that's wise, and I think that should be done. Just concerned about distributing it to people who have no knowledge, no experience with this before these numbers have actually been vetted in any way. As Anita herself said, she got this report today. She doesn't know what she's looking at. I certainly don't. I don't think anybody on this call does. And until we do, I think the only thing that we can do is try and resolve those things. And I have no problem resolving the people who have experience and understanding of what these numbers actually mean. So we're going to need to extend time if we want to go further. It's actually past time right now.
James, how to extend?
How much would you like, James? Do you want 15?
I'll take 5 unless anybody else wants to say more.
Okay. I'd like to go for 10. Can I up the ante to 10?
By all means. By all means.
Okay. Is there any objection to going for another 10 minutes? Okay. Hearing none, go ahead, James. You're next.
Thank you. I just want to remind the committee, while I take this situation very, very seriously, part of what we're seeing here, and although I understand we cannot pretend that we can survive our budget for bequests. I think it's important that we understand that some of what we're seeing here is the way that contributions from various stations are accounted for. And we've discussed this on other occasions, but it seems to have been forgotten that, WBAI provided from this area a $583,000 bequest recently that was used mostly to pay national office expenses. Now, I understand that was not in the regular way by going through central services, but it was a very large contribution that, because of our accounting methods, didn't get credited to WBAI. And the statement about we're behind and then we caught up, that statement was specifically with reference to the payroll. There was a person on this committee who was saying wide and far and very loudly that WBI had missed 8 payrolls, and the person saying that never finished the statement by saying, but then they caught up. And that's where that aspect of the thing comes from, is that statement was incomplete. And then there's also the idea that WBI didn't pay any central services except for one in 2019. While I realize that we are behind from the past, we actually did make, I think, definitely 4, but possibly 5 central services payments in 2019. They were just attributed to a prior year. So we've also seen our arbitrons go up. I believe our income is up. So we are struggling, but before we think about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I think we have to understand that stations across the network are struggling, and I think we're the one station that has reversed the trend in arbitron numbers, and since I saw the latest election numbers, I'm a little concerned. We thought we had more members. I think several stations thought they had more members. But when the number that came out for members for voting in the ongoing ballot election, the bylaws election rather, were smaller than we had thought. And I would also then just like to add one final thing, which is it would be nice if we could reduce the election expenses for things like the bylaws change when we had a process for amending bylaws, which we could have used, and also if we could reduce some of the very high legal costs that we've experienced because of the shutdown of WBAI. Those would all have been good things to have happened, and we could have applied that money elsewhere to great effect. Thank you.
All right, James. Thanks. We have 6 minutes left. Go ahead, Arpa.
Okay. One, to answer a question from Teresa, yes, you're seeing stuff, and it's new, and it's amazing to you that it's all downtrending. This has been going on for many years. If you look through old minutes, you'll see a lot of stuff, you know, it's been going down for quite a while. And some of us have been yelling about it. And some of us, I know I do, bring many, many things to our general manager through the local finance committee. One thing I want to ask Chris is, so this cash flow document, Pacifica Cash Flow 310.20.xls, I can send this to the WBAI general manager now?
I think it would be good for you to work with your general managers, each of you individually, to make sure that these numbers jive. And if there's something glaring and missing.
Which means, yes, I can send it to him, yep. Which I'll do as soon as we get off this call.
Okay. And I'm hoping for feedback, all right? That's the understanding here is that, you know, this just doesn't disappear down a wormhole and we don't hear anything back, but I will.
I think I've given feedback in the past, all right?
You have, Harwell. I wasn't speaking to you specifically.
Bill?
Alan for the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Bill, first, and then Teresa.
Okay, and again, as I was reminding you earlier, it's not just central services payments that we need for our central service providers, but looking again at the FY19 column Q, there was also $59,000 we were short on health benefits, and also almost $66,000 that we were short on to paying to the archives. I'll remind everybody, the last 2 years, PRA raised over $4 million, or they provided premiums, thank you gifts, that raised over $4 million for Pacifica, and we can't even come up with $250,000 to keep them operating. You know, I don't know how they're still existing, actually, with, you know, coming up $66,000 short for last year, but, you know, this is, besides the treasures of the, you know, what's in the archives and the need to fund them more so we can speed up preservation of that, they're really bringing in a lot of revenue to Pacifica, and we need to be helping them instead of, you know, making them work with one hand tied behind their back. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Teresa, go ahead. We have 3 minutes.
So my question is, when I'm looking at the cash flow projection and it says major donor income, so all of these numbers, this is a combination of all of the major donations. So when it says July, we brought in 808,912. That was maybe the WBAI donation. I mean, so I guess I'd have to go to an individual cash flow projection among the stations to figure out. And as was it Arpa? Who was it that was talking about WBAI? So, yes, you didn't get credit for that large donation. It must have been made payable to Pacifica rather than WBAI. But the figures we see on this cash flow projection are collections of all of the five stations, and we can't really see what came in from national office, a big donation to national office, correct?
Yeah, you can actually see it, but you have to pull up the individual tabs. So, for the national office, the tab would be national. And so if you pull up the national tab and go to major donor funding for that same month, you will see an entry for $583,489 for July. And that is actually the only major funding donation that you'll see coming into the national office for that year. So it stands right out.
Okay, okay. Well, we had a similar situation a couple years back where Democracy Now! Said, oh, well, did you get your $400,000? And someone from the Berkeley area gave $400,000 to Pacifica and $400,000 to Democracy Now! And after looking to see the check, they saw that the check was made to Pacifica, not KPFA. And WPFW obviously got a donation that was restricted, and it was specifically for their transmitter. I can appreciate that, but I don't know which came first, where people decided not to pay national office or and then got upset when their when their big donations were taken, or was it the other way? We've got to get ahead of us. In two weeks, I would like to have each of the station people report as to, having met with their finance committee, what they intend to do to tackle some of these problems, which we might say is, question their priorities. And I certainly intend to go back to my finance committee and say, what are our priorities here? Because how did we possibly just skip a month and not give anything to the archive? I want to question every expenditure and our priorities.
That makes sense to me. I'm afraid we're out of time, however. So unless somebody wants to extend, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move that we adjourn.
You don't need one.
All right.
So yes.
No, I know you say that, Paul, and I believe you, but I always like to ask. Okay. Thank you, everyone. This was, maybe one of the more informative meetings just in terms of the amount of information that we discussed. And I look forward to certainly going over some of this in more detail in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you all.
So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.